alive, active, and it will accomplish all that it has set forth to accomplish. So this is what we pray tonight, that it would accomplish its good work in all of our lives, that we will grow together and learn more of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, I missed you all last week. I was on my deathbed. That's what it felt like. Thank you for your prayers. Got a halls in my cheeks, so forgive me if I'm moving around a couple times. Let's go ahead and start reading just from Jude chapter 1, just since it's been a few weeks. Jude verse 1. I fell for it, Matthew, you're not the only one. Okay. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Okay, so we remember here, just for those who might have forgotten, who haven't been here, that Jude is writing this letter here, and apostates have crept in unnoticed, as we read, and they are causing havoc. They are deceiving. They have evil intentions. And so Jude is addressing these apostates, or these pretenders, as you know, we've been calling them. They pretend to be something they're not. They get in, they cause damage to the body of Christ. They try to pick off those who are weak, who are not strong. He's reminding us that we need to be strong in the Lord. We need to know the Word of God. We need to be students, and we must contend earnestly for the faith. Jude has given examples of these apostates and what happens to them. They will suffer eternal fire because they have chosen to turn from the one true God and gone in the opposite direction and tried to cause damage to Christ's body. This is why we must contend for the faith. This is why we must be strong Christians, rely on His strength, but we must know the Word of God. It must be written on our hearts, right? Okay, so we left off with verse 10 and part of verse 11, which says, "But these apostates, they speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves." If you remember that these are like unreasoning animals is what they are like. Remember when you used the example of trying to talk with someone in their sleep, right? You could talk with them and ask them questions, and they're just not making any sense. It's impossible. That's what these brute beasts, they're unreasoning animals, and they can't be talked to. They can't be reasoned with. In verse 11, then he says, "Woe to them." Woe to these apostates. Woe to these pretenders. And this means that woe to them is not something like, well, they're going to face judgment, which they are, but he's saying how awful it's going to be for them is what he's implying when he says woe to them. How bad it's going to be, how awful it's going to be for them. Okay, so now he says, for they have gone in the way of Cain, which we talked about a couple weeks ago. We read that story. It continues there. They have gone in the way of Cain, and they have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. This account, we won't read it tonight, but we'll briefly discuss it because it's too long. This account is found in Numbers chapters 22 through chapter 25. I encourage you this week to go back and read that if you can. If you get a chance, you got some free time, finished homework earlier, whatever. Just turn to Numbers 22 at home and read all the way through 25 of this account. This is, a lot of you remember when the donkey speaks. Anyone know that story? Remember the donkey actually talks? This is that story. So this next week, go back and read of it. But in short, Balaam the prophet was approached by Balak, who is the king of Moab, who wanted Balaam to put a curse on Israel. Israel was moving, getting closer to Moab's area, and Balak the king is unhappy with this. He doesn't want these people near him, so he wants Balaam to put a curse on Israel. When Balaam knew God would not curse Israel, but bless it, in fact, that's what kept happening. He would want him to put a curse on him, and Balaam would be like, I can only speak what God tells me to do. And so Israel kept getting blessed instead of cursed. But eventually, the price, the king here was willing to pay Balaam a lot in animals and whatever, with a lot of riches. And eventually, the price became right for Balaam, okay? And so he devises a plan to try and get the men of Israel to be seduced by the Moab women, okay, which is wrong, which is against the second commandment, or it's idolatrous, because not only do they seduce the men to lie with them, but then they get them to worship Baal, the other god, and they know that this is against the great commandment, you shall have no other gods against me. So Balaam falls, he sins, he knows what he should do. He knows that he should speak nothing except that which God tells him to speak. And it was very clear that God was not going to curse Israel. He kept blessing him and blessing them and blessing them. And meanwhile, the king of Moab is getting upset and very angry. And he keeps saying, here's more, I'll pay you whatever you want. Here's animals, here's riches. And the price becomes right for Balaam. And he comes up with this plan and tells the king about it and gets the women to go to the Israel men, and they seduce them. And the men fall and they lie with them and they worship other gods. And so then they're going to be in trouble by the one true God. Revelation 2:14 says, but I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. This is what he taught the king Balak to. This is how you will get Israel to fall, if you do this. Okay. So is it clear what wrong he did here? Anyone got that? That's in short what he did wrong. You were not going to be cursed, but blessed. So he tells the king, hey, this is the plan that we'll come up with so that Israel will be in trouble by God. But again, I encourage you this week to go home and read the whole account. Will you do that? I should be singing hands to do this. Okay, there you go. Okay, this week, go home and read of that account. Balaam knew better than to speak only that which God had told him. But he chose to turn from God for greed. Here we have another example of one who turns from God. He's an apostate now. He has turned. He has gone in the way of sin. He had people that were under him who trusted him. He was a prophet that relied on him to speak the truth from God. But like these other apostates who Jude is warning about and explaining that, hey, this is what happens to apostates. This is what happens to these men and anyone who turns from God, including Balaam. But he knew better. And at first he was even, I can't do that. I shouldn't be doing that. He knew what he should not be doing, and he knew what he should be doing. He told the king, I better not do that. I must be obedient. I fear this God. But then the price becomes too rough. His greed took over him. And he goes after his appetites, his sinful appetites, instead of holding on to the truth. He, like other apostates, considers it right and proper that religion should be used to minister to one's personal advantage, and that's exactly what he was doing here. At first he was going to do the right thing, but then eventually he thought, you know what? Man, this is a great opportunity for me to take advantage here. I can be rich. I can gain a lot of goods here. Money, riches, animals, and you all know that in this time to have a lot of animals meant you were wealthy. And so he's gaining here, personally. So he says, I can do what's wrong this time. You know, I just sure can use all these riches. Then I'll really be powerful. He becomes greedy and turns. Balaam, for temporary profit, would stifle his own convictions and lead astray those who directed him. And that's what he does. He would direct people. He would say, thus say the Lord, and tell the people what God would speak to him. But this time, he leads the people astray. Hey, you Moabite women, go and seduce the Israel men. Seduce them. They'll fall for it, those suckers. He leads them astray, causes them to sin. Albert Barnes says, the word rendered ran greedily, he says, have run greedily in the air of Balaam for profit. So this word rendered ran greedily means to pour out. And then when spoken of persons, that they are poured out or that they rush tumultuously on an object. That is, that they give themselves up to anything. They give themselves up to anything. The idea here is that all restraint was relaxed and done away with, and that they rushed on tumultuously to any course of life that promised gain. In other words, he forgot about his convictions. He forgot about what he should be doing. He forgot about what was right and what was good and what was just, and ran hastily after what he could gain. And what was that? Riches. Never mind what God wants. But I'm going to go after what I want. I'm going to make a dash for it and go what after is going to profit me. But that's not what godly people do, do we? Do we make haste for the things that just profit me and forget about what God wants? Think of all the examples that you can use here. And ignoring what God requires of us and going after sinful appetites. That's what apostates do. They go what after pleases them, what they can get out of, instead of what sacrificing and doing what God wants from them. And then he goes on. He says, they have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. Don't forget that. He wanted to profit. He wanted to be rich. He goes on and says, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Okay, so now what is this? The word perish means to be destroyed both physically and eternally, because they're getting both. So if you will now, we will read this account. Turn back to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Oh yeah, those little ones don't have the Old Testament, so you have to share with your neighbor there. If you have the Old Testament there with you and someone beside you doesn't, please let them copy after page. Okay, Numbers chapter 16, starting in verse 1. You got any volunteers to read? Elijah, why don't you read 1 through 15? Dylan, you read 16 through 35. Sorry, thank you for listening. And everyone else, listen carefully.
Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses, with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah, and unto all his company, saying, Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him who he hath chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them.
Moses said to Korah, You and all your company be present before the Lord tomorrow, both you and they along with Aaron. Each of you take his firepan and put incense on it, and each of you bring his censer before the Lord, 250 firepans. Also you and Aaron shall each bring his firepan. So they each took his own censer and put fire on it and laid incense on it. And they stood at the doorway of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Thus Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly. But they fell on their faces and said, O God, God of the spirits of all flesh, one whom man sins, will you be angry with the entire congregation? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation, saying, get back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Then Moses arose and went to Dathan and Abiram, with the elders of Israel following him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, depart now from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing that belongs to them, or you will be swept away in all their sin. So they got back from around the dwellings of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the doorway of their tents, along with their wives and their sons and their little ones. Moses said, by this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these deeds, but this is not my doing. If these men die, the death of all men, or if they suffer the fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about an entirely new thing, and the ground opens its mouth and swallows them up with all that is theirs, and they descend alive into Sheol, then you will understand that these men have spurned the Lord. As he finished speaking all these words, and the ground that was under them split open, and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them up, and their households, and all the men who belonged to Korah with all their possessions. So they and all that belonged to them went down alive to Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. All Israel who were around them fled in their outcry, for they said, the earth may swallow us up. Fire also came forth from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering their incense.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. Okay. Korah was not a priest, neither any of his rebellious company. They were Levites whose business it was to attend to the outside service of the tabernacle. Lured on by pride, they rose up against Moses and Aaron, who were types of Christ, and setting aside God's anointed, sought to force their way into his presence as priests and to worship before him without divine warrant or title. Independent and inflated with a sense of their own self-importance, vain men openly rebel against the authority of the Lord as the high priest. They dare to approach God as worshipers apart from Christ and ignore his claims. MacArthur writes, Korah's rebellion was blasphemy against the holy character of God. As if mortal men could conceivably enter the very presence of God without a mediator. Without a mediator. There must be someone who has first taken care of the sin barrier which separates man from God. Can you see what's going on here now? There's a sin barrier between man and God. There must be a mediator. These men were not priests. They could just not go in the tabernacle. Okay? Had to be bloodshed. Had to be a sacrifice from a priest. Okay? Moses was a type of Christ. He was the mediator. So now, who has broken down that sin barrier between you and you, between God and us? Christ. And how did he do this? He comes fully God, fully man, and is the ultimate sacrifice for all of men. He is the mediator between us and God. This is how we get to God, through Christ. But Korah and his evil company try to take it upon themselves, say, hey, I don't need anyone, I can do it my way. If I want to go to God, I'll get to him however I want to. We don't need Moses. We don't need these rules and regulations. I'll just go in and be before God. They're rejecting authority. God established authority, which was Moses here. And they try and cause a little rebellion here is what they're doing. And what happens? They are consumed, aren't they? They fall and they die. And see, we have a problem here too, because there's a barrier, there's a sin barrier between us and between God. We cannot get to Him. But Christ has made a way. Christ is our mediator. He is the way in which we reach God. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Except through Christ. This is how you get to God. Through Christ. That's the only way to God. Moses was that type of Christ to get to God. Jesus is now our mediator. He is how we get to God. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Who do we get to God through? Jesus. Now listen to this. Numbers 26:9 through 11. You don't have to turn there, but the sons of Eliab were Nemuel, Dathan, and Abiram. These are the Dathan and Abiram, representatives of the congregation, who contended against Moses and Aaron in the company of Korah. When they contended against the Lord, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah, when that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, and they became a sign, it says. Why do you think they became a sign? Because, like the other apostates, they are an example for anyone who turns from God. You want to turn from God and do it your own way? You think you can reach God on your own without the established authority which God says how we reach Him? You want to go after greedy gain? You want to have riches and wealth and forget what God wants? You want to be disobedient and reject authority? Guess what? This is what happens to apostates. This is what happens to anyone who turns from God. You will suffer eternal fire, he says. You will be swallowed up like these. You want to reject authority? You want to be disobedient to God-given authority? You want to do this your own way and forget about what God wants? This is what's coming your way. Do not turn from God. Do not be a pretender. This is the example that we have before us. Jude says, you better not turn from God. The last month or so, we've been reading nothing except what happens to those who turn from God. Has it been pleasant? Has it been all joyous of what's happened to those who turned? No, we have found that they are destroyed. They are killed. And they will suffer for all eternity in hell. That's what happens to everyone who turns from God. Do you too want to turn from God to profit, to gain? Do you want to go about it your own way? There is no way. There is no other way but through Christ. He has broken that sin barrier. Now we can reach God through His Son. He has made that way. They're an example. But he says in Numbers 26:11, nevertheless, the children of Korah did not die. The children did not die. Maybe they saw that what their parents were doing was wrong. They obviously chose a different course and wanted not to turn from God. This must be our mindset. We must never want to turn from God. Why? Because He's everything. His Son, Jesus Christ, is the only hope we have. Why would we want to turn and do it our own way? Why would we want to reject His authority and reject His Son? Turn real quick to Psalms 84. Also in the Old Testament, so please look on somewhere.
Psalm
84. Okay, now remember, Numbers 26, 9 through 11 ended with what? Nevertheless, the children of Korah did not die. Okay? Psalms 84, let's read. to the chief musician on an instrument of God, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Here's the sons of Korah. This is what they sing of. They did not die, remember. Let's read of what they sing praises of. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Now remember, their fathers perished because they rejected authority and they wanted to make their own way for God. Remember this. Listen to these praises. I want to start over, okay? How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Does your soul long, even faint for Christ, for God? Does your heart and flesh cry out for the living God? This should be our song. This should be what our mouth sings. Continue, verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. What an amazing praise here when we read about what has happened to their fathers. The very opposite of what their fathers sang of, wasn't it? Their fathers did not want to trust in God. Their fathers did not want to trust in the type of Christ, Moses. Their fathers wanted to go in their own way, and they perished. This should be our praise. This is what our hearts should be singing to our God. How lovely is his tabernacle. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Do we long to be with him? Does your heart and flesh cry out for the living God? Do we realize that it's better one day in his courts than a thousand elsewhere? One day. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. See, they know exactly what happens to the wicked. They saw it. They saw exactly what happens to the wicked. They realized that God is their sun and their shield, their strength, their protection, their grace. He says, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And they end it with, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Do you trust in God? Do Do you trust in his plan? Do you firmly trust in God's plan and what he has written to you? Do you trust the word of God? Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Trust in the word of the Lord. Over and over and over again we read of what happens to all who turn from God. Is this what we want? Do we want to turn from the one true God and fall? Or do you want to sing praises like these children here do? Sing praises to God that we will trust you. We will rely on your strength. Let that be said of us, that we did not depart. We did not turn from God, but we looked forward to his Son and followed after him. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, another reminder of what happens to those who turn. Over and over and over again, Jude is giving accounts of what happens to apostates. And not one of them have been good. He says, woe to them. How awful it is for these apostates. How awful it is and how awful it will be. I pray that no one will have to say to us, woe is you. Because there will be no need, because we will not turn from you. We will not be pretenders. But we are children of God. And we will not be tossed here and fro. But we cling to the cross and we cling to your word. And we seek only to know you. And we seek only to love you. Let us be obedient children. Let us truly love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Let that be said of us. Let us sing praises as the children of Korah. Let our souls be thirsty for you. Let them cry out for you alone. And we thank you, O Christ, that you are that sin barrier for us. You have made a way to God. You suffered and died on account of us so that we can reach God. You are the mediator. And so in you we trust. Thank you, Christ, for dying for us. It is because of your good work on the cross that we can pray to God. That we can cry out to God. That we can talk with God. Thank you, O Christ. It's in your name we pray.